Shrinkflation is when you pay the same price, but retailers give you less for the money. Less sheets on a roll of paper towels, fewer cookies in a cookie sleeve, skinnier cereal boxes from the side. Isn't shrinkflation like when the store shoplifts from you? Aristotle said that judgment is the basis of all wisdom. Note how in our modern age, they enjoin people not to judge, by which they mean that they don't want you to utilize wisdom. It makes you an easy mark. Kind of like the coveted 18 to 34 year old demographic that TV panders to. When asked why they target this cohort of our society, they openly say because they have disposable income and are intellectually immature, so it's easier to trick them. A fool and his money are soon parted, as the old proverb goes. So the whole economic system is driven by the ability to fleece fools. Hence, as I said, the push to not promote wisdom, the drive to tell you that judgment is bad. Don't judge people, a book by a liberal that I recently read said. Okay, but then can I judge the acts of people? The problem is that the modern secular humanist conflates the act with the person, making it an immutable characteristic. Alcoholism isn't an act, we're told. It's a disease. Pay close attention. A disease is something that happens to you, not something that you do. So the suggestion is that the drinker has no agency. Likewise, homosexuality isn't an act, we're told, but an immutable characteristic, attributed to the never-found gay gene. The left is all about turning behaviors into personality types, and then basing the whole person's identity around it. People are nouns. Behaviors are verbs. They try to switch the noun and the verb, reverse them. Then they say, don't judge people, after removing all other possibilities. If the person becomes the act, and you judge the act, you're now forced into the position of judging the person. The leftist leaves no other choice open. In medieval times, the seven deadly sins described acts, behaviors. People weren't stigmatized. Behaviors were, like nose picking or stealing your neighbor's mail. No one made sins the basis for identity, until now. So ironically, the medieval period was more progressive than today, because they left open the possibility for progress, for change, for growth. Modern quackery, by contrast, tells you that you can never change, and that your bad behaviors are who you are, not what you do. I was watching a play, Macbeth, with my son. In it, Macbeth is told by some witches that he's fated to be king after he kills Duncan, the present monarch. Macbeth actually likes Duncan and is torn as to what to do. His wife, eggs him on, tells him that it's his destiny. He goes back and forth. Eventually, he's pressured into committing the murder. Once he does it, though, a tremendous sense of guilt overcomes him. The whole play wrestles with the theme of free will versus fate. In a cosmos structured by fate, we have no agency. We're just particles caught in the grip of larger forces. We can no more be responsible for our actions than the moon can be responsible for orbiting around the Earth. Ethics can't exist in a world of fate. Why? Ethics is based on choices. Without free will, there can be no question of choice. Macbeth's guilt suggests that he felt that his act had been immoral, which implies that he finally decided at the end of the day that he did have free will. He did have a choice. Therefore, he didn't have to murder Duncan. Today, we're still dealing with these questions. The method by which people on the left used to strip things like homosexuality of its connection to vice was to reframe it as deterministic. If you have no choice, there can be no question of it having a moral dimension. However, if you strip a person of choice, you're in fact enslaving him. You're limiting him. You're limiting his possibilities and locking him in. This is the moral poisoning of society. By framing human beings as deterministic particles in the grip of external forces like a rock in the clutches of gravity, you remove all ethical dimensions from people. The German philosopher Immanuel Kant warned about this. You turn people into robots, appliances, without free will. Particles in physics. Human beings are not merely subject to the laws of physics like a rock. A rock can't move on its own. The fact that you can is why you have something called a soul. Soul comes from the Latin word anima. It means to move, to be animated. So something that can move on its own has a soul. It's inner-directed. A rock subject to physics isn't. It goes where gravity takes it. Human beings, by contrast, can decide to jump left, turn right, sit down, jump up, and so forth. We have choice, and in choice lies ethical action. So beware those who make you feel better by telling you that you had no choice but to engage in your vice. People who tell you that, in fact, that you are your vice. Because in making you feel better about stripping away the moral dimension, they're accidentally turning you into a robot. A thing, a genderless, soulless slave of physics, with no more agency than a rock rolling down the slope of a hill. When the news leaves a bad taste in your mouth, luckily, there's the Daniel Natale Pez dispenser. It gives out only red pills, as does the New American Magazine. Get your subscription today.